Romans 1 and Exodus 21. By the way, if you have any misgivings or any misunderstandings about where God stands on homosexuality, read Romans chapter 1. God makes very clear it's unnatural. It's wrong. We live in a society today that's pushing people in that direction. We know who's behind that. And just a little clarification there. I just want to read one verse in Romans 1, and that's verse 1. Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Now, before we go back to Exodus, I want you to understand when Paul says, a servant of Jesus Christ, Paul's literally saying, I am a slave, I'm a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. He isn't just some mamby-pamby servant. He's a slave sold, who sold himself, who gave himself, who surrendered himself completely and became subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus in the 21st chapter. We're going to look at the first 11 verses there. Exodus is easy to find. Genesis, Exodus, you're there. Amen. So get a Bible. There's one in the pew rack if you don't have one. And we're in chapter 21. The Bible says, Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, under the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for how you've put your word together and the truths you've given us. And Lord, the things we glean from it. Now we come to this time in our service where your word is preached and proclaimed. And Lord, that's my duty. And I pray that you would help me today to be faithful to you and to your word and all that I say. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts here today. And Lord, do what only you can do. This is a spiritual work, a spiritual effort, a spiritual battle. We need spiritual results. We need for hearts to be tender. We need for Christians to be willing to submit themselves to you. And I pray if there's one here without Christ today, that today would be the day when they come and we allow us during the invitation there to take the Bible and show them how they can know Christ as their Savior. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be busy in hearts here today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I simply titled this, Bond Slaves of Christ. Bond Slaves of Christ. The portion of this text here in Exodus 21 is just a very small portion of what we refer to as the law. And when I say the law, I'm speaking of the laws and statutes dictated by God to Moses there on Mount Sinai for his people. Now, most people are familiar with that part of the law we call the Ten Commandments, given by God, actually written by the very finger of God and given to Moses. But many people are unaware that there was much more to the law than just Ten Commandments. Actually, the Jewish law had three parts. There was the moral law, that was the Ten Commandments, so to speak. The civil law, which was made up of rules for laws by which the Israelites were to govern civil and social affairs. And the third part of the law was the ceremonial law, which laid out the laws of the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, etc. So the law actually had three different parts. Now, the passage we've read today is found in the civil law, and it has to do with laws concerning Israelites and how they're to live their lives, how they're to treat other Israelites who were slaves in this one particular portion here. Israelites had laws. Now, you know, it's interesting, and I'm not for slavery, I'm not saying anything like that, but you know, in the Bible, slavery was a way of life. And Israelites could sell themselves into slavery if they wanted to. And we get closer to the New Testament, we find that there were many in Rome in slavery and things. And so, you know, and God addressed that here in this particular portion of the law for His people. Now, these laws were clear and concise. As we read, we learn a Jew could only hold another Jew as a slave for 6 years. That's in the early part of what we read. If a Jew decided, I want to sell myself into slavery, he could sell himself into one of his Jewish brethren, but they can only keep him 6 years. On the seventh year, the year of Jubilee, he had to be set free. At the end of 6 years, all debts were to be canceled, and we could go on and on about all that. But then we read on, and we learn that this freed one could not take his wife or his children if he had gained them while he was a slave. If the man sold himself into slavery as a single man, and he decided at the end of the 6 year he was going to take advantage of that and go, if he came in as a single man, he left as a single man. If he came in as a married man, he left as a married man. Now, here comes the catch. If he came as a single man while he's in slavery to this other person, that man gives him a wife and they have children. Now in the sixth year, if it's time to leave, he can't take his wife and children. They belong to the master. He's free to go. That's according to the law. But his wife and children are not. But the Bible also provides this, and God in His wisdom and His, He says that if a slave had grown to love his master so much that he did not want to leave him, at the end of those 6 years, that slave could stay on with that master as his servant and as a slave. However, he would now be marked, and he would now be recognized as what we often refer to as a bond slave. He's now a slave, but he's a slave not out of necessity, not out of duty, not out of duress, not out of debt, but because he loves his master so much, he's willingly chosen to humble himself and continue to be a willing servant for the master. Now, he was a slave. After he made this decision, he would now still be a slave, but he would not be a slave because he had to be. He would now be a slave because he chose to be. Now he would be serving his master not because he had to, but because he chose to. Now his life would be yielded, his will would be yielded to his master, and now he would do his master's bidding willingly because it was what he chose. This morning I believe we have a picture of something God desires to see happen in the life of every believer. See, I just believe God wants us, has this desire for us to come to that place in our life where we yield ourselves totally to Him. And when we obey His word and we serve Him and we live for Him, not out of duty and not out of duress, but out of love. I believe God wants us not because he wants us to do that, but because we want to. His desire is that we as individuals would, like this Jewish slave he talks about here of old, declare ourselves to be bond slaves of the Lord. And this morning I want to see some ways we can do that, and we ought to do that. Bond slaves of Christ. Number one, we can declare ourselves or show ourselves to be bond slaves of the Lord. Number one, by being clear in our decision. Clear in our decision. It says in verse 5, "And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free." Now, this was an unmistakable declaration for this slave to make. And his declaration had to be plain, it had to be clear, there had to be no wavering or no doubt. This is what he wanted. You see, this was serious business. And when this slave made this decision, he didn't make it today, you know, and okay, a couple of months, everything's going fine, a couple of months down the road, decide I want to bail out. No. Once this decision was made, it was made. It says, notice it says there in verse 6, he would serve him forever. This had to be an unmistakable declaration. It had to be firm, no indecision. His mind had to be made up. He had to come to that place where he said, this is what I really want. And you know, I was thinking about Joshua. Remember Joshua came to a place and he was challenging his people, and he said this, he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." See, he came to that point of decision. And sometimes I believe what Christians need to do is just come to that point of decision in your life. It needs to be an unmistakable decision, a declaration. It needs to be plain and clear, no wavering, no doubt. This is what I need to do. See, there's no room for indecision and wavering in our Christian life. We need to be set 100%. This is what God wants. We need to just make up our mind. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, if you'll make that kind of decision, it eliminates all fence riding, and it requires that we cease being middle-of-the-road type Christians. See, when a person makes this decision, I'm going to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to give my life to Him. It will help you in that now decisions are made. You're not going to ride the center of the road anymore. You're not going to try to ride the fence, you know, 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the... No. You're going to be totally on Jesus' side where you ought to be. Sold out. You know, we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And it says, no turning back. That's where we need to be. We need to be bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do so by being clear in our decision. Yes, that's what I want. Hey, is that your decision today? Do you really, really, really want to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really want Him to be the ultimate authority over you? Then you're going to have to make a decision to allow Him to do that. Number two, we become bond slaves of Jesus Christ by being passionate in our desire. Again, if the servant shall plainly say, I like this, I love my master. He goes on to say, and his wife and his children, but he loves his master. You know, I thought about this a little bit. Well, maybe the guy's just going to stay for his wife and children. But see, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I love my master. Do you love your master? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? This man, listen, he entered bondage on his own. I don't know why he became a slave, but for 6 years, he was to serve this master, whether he wanted to or not. He's a slave. He's required to do what the master says and be what the master says and go when the master... He's at the beck and call of the master for 6 years. Now he has opportunity to go free. You know what he says? No, I love my master. You know, that says a lot about his master. Doesn't it? I would imagine this man had a good master who took good care of him and watched over him and provided for him. Listen, we have the greatest master we could possibly have. We ought to love him. Not just for what he does for us, but we ought to love him. And this man did love his master. This was a pledge of passion for the Jewish slave. His motivation was simply love. Love for the master, love for his children. This slave loves for his master. It was a compelling type love. He wasn't forced to do this. Nobody said, hey, you got to stay 6 more years. No. He wasn't coerced. Nobody came and said, we'll offer you this. We'll do it. No. The total motivation of what he was about to do in declaring himself a bond slave was love. You know, think about this. Here's a man who's free to go. He can just walk away. But he chooses to stay. Now, I think we as believers ought to desire to serve the Lord the same way this man did, purely out of motive of love. Our pledge to be his bond servants ought to be because we love him. You know, over in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul writes this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live henceforth, And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and who rose again." And Paul understood this concept. We read in Romans, Paul's already been through this. He's already declared himself a bond slave. And he's encouraging people. And Paul knew the Jewish law. He knew all about what we're reading here. He was a master of the Jewish law. And he wants people to understand where he's coming from. You know, certainly we as born-again children of God should desire to serve the one who suffered, bled, and died for us. You say, in my estimation, our sole motivation in anything we do for the Lord ought to be simply love for him. We ought to come to church because we love Jesus. Why are you here today? You came to hear Pastor Meyer sing. Came to buy eggs. Came to hear what preacher's going to say today. We ought to be here because we love him. Well, I'm here because my wife made me come. I'm here because my husband made me come. No. Why do we read our Bible? Well, I don't want people to think I'm not spiritual. No, you ought to read your Bible because you love him. Why do we do anything for him? Why do we separate from sin and the ways of the world? Because we love him. Why do we dress right and think right and talk right and pay our tithes and teach and witness and all the things the Bible says we ought to do? You know why? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And doing all those things we do because we love him, not because we have to do them. At least that's the way it ought to be. We need to guard our motives and our motivations. See, we ought not to be serving the Lord and doing these things because of peer pressure or selfish motives or secret agendas or guilt trips or anything of that nature. Here's a thought for you. You ready? There are many Christians doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Did you hear me? There are a lot of Christians doing the right things with the wrong reasons. So, we ought to be bond slaves of Jesus Christ by being passionate in our desire. And then thirdly, by being open in our declaration. Verse 6, then, now wait a minute, then, this is after this man said, in verse 5, that he would not go out, he would stay with his master because he loved his master. He's made his declaration. Then, after this man's made his decision, It says, his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. You see, what was going on here was now, because of the decision this man has made, you notice the decision is first. Now there's going to be a public testimony. Now there's going to be a declaration, open and public, about what the decision this Jewish slave had made. He's to appear before the town judges. There was a public forum where the slave declared any and all of his desire. And then he was marked. He was marked in a way that would not, for now and forever, identify him as a bond slave. A hole in his ear. But I don't know, I'm not an authority, but you know what I'm told is, this hole in his ear was not down here in the earlobe. See, this is kind of dead. There's not a whole lot of feeling in there. I mean, a little bit. But up here, there's a cartilage. And I'm told that's where they used to put that hole up here. You know, when I was a kid, my mother used this ear. Any of you have your mom use that ear? You say, what do you mean? She didn't just pull it. No, that wouldn't hurt less. My mother used to take that cartilage there, how it's rolled, and she would put it between her finger and her thumb and roll that baby. It worked. I don't know, I'll just tell you it worked. But anyway, this slave now is making a public declaration to everybody, hey, this is a decision I made. I'm not going free. I could if I wanted to, but I love my master, and I'm choosing to give myself to him completely for the rest of my life to do not what I want to do, but what he wants me to do, and I'm letting all you know it. Or down south, they'd say, all y'all know it. I thought about us as believers. You know, I think as believers, we ought to be willing to declare openly just who we are and who we love and who we serve. We need to be willing to testify of our choice as believers with our mouth. You know, Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Are you ashamed to give a witness for the Lord? Are you ashamed to say, hey, I'm one of those Bible-believing Christians? Too many Christians try to hide their relationship to Christ. Too many are undercover Christians. Incognito. We need to be willing to use our mouth and testify. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And then we need to be willing to testify of our choice and our appearance. You know, we ought to look like Christians. What's that mean? It means we shouldn't look like the world. Now, I know, you know, we're going to wear clothes and the world wears clothes. That's a good thing. But we need not chase after the styles and the dictates of the world to how we look. How we dress, you know, and I got into some areas the other week about tattoos and things, and I know, you know, you say, well, I got a tattoo when I was younger. You know, God forgives all that stuff. But I'm saying, just because the world says we ought to do this or we ought to do that, we ought to, you know, get pierced, we ought to get tattooed, we ought to put lines in our head, or we ought to cut, you know, I got a reverse mohawk is what I did. We shouldn't listen to the world. It's because the world says, hey, this is the way you ought to do. No. The way we fix ourselves, the way we present ourselves. Well, not to be like the world. I mentioned in Sunday school about inappropriate apparel, you know, and this idea of dressing immodestly. No, no, no. You know, the first thing God did for Adam and Eve was He covered their nakedness. Yeah, God's not for nakedness. Amen, preacher. But here's where I'm going with this. Look, if I'm going to be a Christian, I ought to be proud to wear the uniform of a Christian. What do you mean, the uniform? I look like a Christian. I was thinking about this. I went to a baseball game one time in Vet Stadium. Any of you ever in Vet Stadium? Well, Vet Stadium had seats that I could afford way up in the nosebleed section. That's where I was. I was so far up in Vet Stadium, I went to see the Phillies play the Pittsburgh Pirates. I was so far up, airplanes were landing over Philadelphia International Airport. I was looking right in the windows when they went by. That's all I could afford. So there I was. And you know, I'm looking down on the field, and it's pretty far down there. But you know, I didn't have any problem telling which team was which. There was no confusion. You know why? Because each team had their own uniform. And all I had to do was take one look at one of those players. I knew who he played for. Huh? We got a Redskins fan back here. We'll forgive him for that. But he had his Redskins shirt on one day. I said, I know who you're for. Huh? Listen. People ought to know who we're for by how we look. Or maybe by how we don't look. See, somebody's saying, well, how do you dress like a Christian? Ask God. He'll show you. He'll make it real clear. We ought to wear the uniform. And we ought to wear it proudly. Too many Christians refuse to look. To look like Christians. Too many Christians don't want to be different from the world because they don't want the abuse and the back talk and all that comes when you take a stand for Christ. Well, we need to move on. We need to be bond slaves by being clear in our decision and passionate in our desire and open in our declaration. Open in our declaration. Did I skip one? There it is. An unshakable in our dedication. What do I mean by that? Well, basically, it means we need to be willing to pay the price, whatever it is. Unshakable in our dedication. It says, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Think about this. This was a painful decision for this man. Number one, it'd be painful because somebody's putting a hole in his ear. But then think about the pain of the future cost involved here. See, there was going to be a price to pay for this man. He would never be free again in his life. He would never be free to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, go where he wanted to go. He was giving all that up to give the rule to his master. You think that's not a price to pay? Not only that, he was never to be able to pursue his own career. He would never be able to own his own property. There were so many negatives to this thing that he had to be willing to surrender and give up and pay the price, and yet he's willing to do it. Why? He tells you right there, because he loves his master that much. He's willing to give up some things. And I want you to understand there's a price to pay for those who choose to be true bondslaves of Jesus Christ. Have you ever read the Apostle Paul's story in the New Testament? All that he went through? Listen, this thing about being a bondslave of Christ and being a true servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not child play. And it don't just come easy. It's a battle. And there's going to be a toll taken. Listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, there's going to be pain. Not just physical pain. Listen, if you're really going to serve the Lord, there's some emotional pain you're going to go through. People are going to hurt you. Do you believe that? You're trying to serve the Lord. You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to treat people right and all that kind of thing. And people are actually going to hurt you. Mark it down. It's going to happen. You're going to get ridiculed. Maybe even by family members. You're going to get mocked. You're going to get misunderstood. You're going to get mistreated. Now, that's not a very pleasant picture, but I'm being honest with you. This is the price. And then there will be suffering. I'm talking about some losses, some financial losses, maybe occupational losses. You know, maybe you'll never get that promotion. Because of your stand for Christ. There may be some social things that you'll lose out on. You know, all of a sudden some of your social friends aren't so social anymore. And there's going to be some liberties we're going to have to give up. You know, the main thing you're going to have to give up if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as a bond slave like He wants us to is our free will. You know, that free will gets you in trouble every time. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. We're much better off to let Him have His will, but you know, our pride fights that. Oh, no. No, no. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm my own boss. If you're going to be the bond slave Jesus wants you to be, you're going to come to Him, you're going to say, all right, it's not my will anymore, it's yours. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I'm going to be what you want me to be. I'm going to live the way you want me to live. And then we may have to put aside some goals or personal desires or ambitions that we could serve Him. Do His will. I remember how He changed my will. I told you before I got saved, my dream was to make enough money to buy a 6-man cab pickup truck and a piece of property up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. I was going to go be a hermit. Me and my family were going to live up there like mountain people. I don't want to fool around with people. Had enough of it. Just get away from it all. Amen? And then God saved me. And then God started dealing with my heart about what He wanted me to do. And so I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's been interesting ever since then. I remember one opportunity. I'd graduated college, Bible college, and was looking for what the Lord had and putting out resumes. Nothing was happening. I got real frustrated with it. And we happened to come home here to Fearless Hills. Pastor Fernandez was still there. And I visited church that day, and a fellow I worked with who had come to Christ through our ministry there at Faith Baptist Church was in church. And so I got to talk with him. I said, Butch, you know, what are you up to, man? And we all kind of got laid off at the same time. Our plant closed. And he said, well, I'm down at Sparrows Point, Maryland now with the same company. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, they transferred me. I thought, well, he had less seniority than I did, and they transferred him. That's interesting. So nothing was happening spiritually. I mean, God wouldn't give me opportunity to preach anywhere or anything, and I was working for $5 an hour. So I went home, and I called him up there at Sparrows Point. I said, hey, you know, I work for you people, and you know, I still have seniority with you, can I get an interview or something up there? They said, yeah, come up Monday. I said, really? I said, yeah. They said, if everything works out, we can take you back. We'll give you 2 more years seniority. We'll bring you in at more than you were making when you left. And you get 4 weeks vacation plus all your benefits. And I was making $5 an hour. No benefits. Sounded pretty good to me. So right away, God's will was now, maybe God wants me to start a church in Baltimore. Because that's where this place was. So I told my wife, we're going. I talked to some people, and Pastor Vedena said this. I told him what was going on. I said, you know, they're offering me all this. He said, be careful. He said, you start making that money, it might be hard to leave. You know, when God does give you a pastor, it might be hard to leave. So we were going to leave early, early, early Sunday morning and drive up to Baltimore and then be there Monday morning for the interview. And I went to bed Saturday night. We were all set to get up like 5 o'clock in the morning. And Lord and I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And finally, I went out and got in my prayer closet out there, and I was praying, and God said, you need to stay where you are. Settled it. I didn't have to tell him, well, Lord, don't you know? Don't you know? He knew. He knew all. Okay. So we stayed there. $5 an hour, no benefits. But you know what? Long after that, I got a call from the church. They wanted me to become a candidate, and I ended up being a pastor. You see, it's always better to surrender to God's will. Too often we go after what the world is offering us. Too often we look at the benefits and all that. Listen, God's will is always perfect. And we just have to obey Him. Did you have to say no to some things, preacher? Yeah, I had to say no to some things. But I have a God who can take care of some things, too. I just have to trust Him. All right, one final point. If we're going to be bond slaves for Christ, we ought to be. We need to be constant in our devotion. And it comes back to that last statement there. He shall serve Him forever. You see, what this man was doing was making a lifelong commitment. It wasn't going to be on again, off again. You know, a lot of Christians, I find, have this on again, off again commitment. They'll go pretty good for the Lord for a little while, and then you don't see them in church, not doing anything for the Lord. And you got to go round them up, get them back in for a little while. Listen, that's not the kind of service God wants. Really, what He wants of us is what Paul did. He wants us to be constant, steady. You know, Pastor Fidenda's mentioned a few times. He's been coming here for 20-some years, I guess. I don't know. And Brother Miller and Bob Hamlin, you know, they've been coming here 20-some years since I've been here. And one of the things they enjoy is when they come back seeing some people that have been here a while. Now, it's nice to see new people, but it's nice to see people who are staying by the stuff. They're not falling out along the way. They're not chasing dreams. They're not just staying faithful to the Lord. Oh, if we could just get people to do that. Pastor Fidenda mentioned the last time he was here how he said, you know, I look out here and he remembers. He said, I remember faces of people who used to be here. Where are they? Where are they? They're not being constant for the Lord. Are they saved? I don't know. I would hope so. How about you? Are you willing to make that commitment? Hey, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not going anywhere. You know, we have an enemy that keeps fighting us. He don't want you in church. You know, the devil don't want you here. You might hear something's going to change your life. He don't want you here. So he'll bring up all kinds of excuses and reasons why you can't be in church. That's why there's a lot of people on here this morning because they fell for the excuse. But he don't want you here. But we're going to have to make up our mind. I'm not going to let him win. he don't want you serving the Lord. He don't want you doing the right thing. He don't want you reading your Bible. You ever notice how you make a commitment to read your Bible and pray, and all of a sudden you set up a, you know, a little time there, and all of a sudden everything erupts when you're trying to do that? He don't want you reading the Bible. He don't want you having a devotional time with the Lord every day. I've seen this. People have come to me and said, "Preacher, I made a decision. I'm going to meet with the Lord every day." And then they come and they say, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do." You know, they changed my schedule at work all of a sudden. Oh, that's just happenstance. You can believe that, but I believe there's an enemy who wants to keep us away from doing right. We just got to be constant and say, "Hey, I'm just going to be consistent." You know, this was a daily commitment on this man's part that every day he was going to have to get up and say, "Hey, he's my master." You got it? Every day this slave would have to get up and recognize, "He's my master, I'm not the master." Daily commitment. My job today is to serve him. You know, that's our job every day. Serve him. What about my job? Well, serve him on your job. Be a witness, be a testimony. What about when I got other things to do? Serve him while you're doing other things. But we're to be servants of him. Every day this guy had to agree with him, with the master, on what he would do, what he wouldn't do, where he would go, when he wouldn't go. That was all up to the master. And it was a constant commitment. See, for us today, this needs to be a decision for the rest of our lives. Not vacillating, not backing up, no bailing out, not just for a day or a week or a month or a year or 5 years, 10 years, but until Jesus comes and takes us home. "I'm giving my life to you. I am your bond slave. My will is now your will. Whatever you want, that's what I want. I'm going to die to myself so I can live for you." That's the kind of decision God wants us to make. You ever make that decision? Maybe you need to today. Bow your heads, close your eyes.